Welcome to an hour of weirdness and love. Love because of weirdness, but also in spite of it and alongside it. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Voltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Our guests have some similes to help us relate to the kind of relationships we're talking about. We go together like pizza and ranch dressing. Like two socks that both lost their match, but they seem meant for each other now. Like the buttered side of toast and a dirty floor. The lines are open. You can join the fun anytime at 800-642-1234. Brooke Barker is a freelance writer and illustrator based in Pennsylvania. She co-authored the book Let's Be Weird Together, a book about love. Brooke, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And also joining us this hour is her co-author and husband, Boaz Frankel. Boaz is a filmmaker, writer, and a talk show host. Hi, Boaz. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us on.
Okay, so when you write a book about love that is called Let's Be Weird Together, we have to ask, what is it about your relationship with Brooke that makes you a weird couple? How are you the chocolate to her hotel pillow? Or maybe it's vice versa.
Well, I think we're both pretty weird, absolutely. I think maybe one of the things that we do that some people might say makes us weird, we don't think so, is we have a crow friendship station. I guess not all couples have that, but we recommend it.
A crow friendship station.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Brooke explained. She set it up.
Brooke, what do you think? Tell us about the crow friendship station.
I really love crows, and one of the things I love about them is that they can memorize a human face. So whether it's a human face they really like or really don't like, they can memorize that face and tell that face to other crows. They can explain that human face to other crows, that the whole group of crows, the whole murder of crows, if you will understand it and remember it. So ever since I heard that, I really wanted to have a crow that liked me and a group of crows that knew me. And Boaz was on board. So we put a handful of nuts on our balcony with passport photos next to them so that the crows would see our faces there and remember them. And after a few weeks, we had a couple crows that would come every morning and know us.
And how do you broach this subject with your significant other when you want to start a crow relationship station? I mean, how do you even begin to explain that?
Luckily, in our relationship, this is sort of baby steps all the way there. First, he knew all about my interest in crows and trying to make friends with him in the wild, trying to never look at a crow the wrong way, sort of didn't want to get too close to it on the sidewalk or something and bother it. So I think by the time I wanted to start a friendship station and put nuts and wallet passport photos out, it was really not too much of a surprise.
And that's not to say there aren't downsides, because one time a bird got into our apartment. So, you know, there are dangers also.
The bird got into your apartment. Okay. And yet you maintain the crow friendship station, and this is one of those just quirky ways that you guys are different but together.
Yeah, it's one of our love languages.
Well, and I think, you dropped the phrase love languages. I think most people are familiar with more mainstream love languages than a crow friendship station. We're talking about things like gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, and quality time, right? Those are the five main love languages and what they mean. Brooke, what are some other ones that you think that couples should consider?
We think really breakfast can be a love language, board games. One of our favorites is just remembering details from stories. Really, we think there are sort of infinite love languages, although we do love the five.
Boaz, on the list, because you wrote the things in the book, on the list in the book, you wrote disliking cilantro. What do you want to say about that?
Oh.
As a love language.
Oh, right. Well, it's a lot of people have that, I guess, that genetic mutation where they dislike cilantro. Mm-hmm. And if you and your partner both do, then maybe that's something that brings you together. It's the way you avoid cilantro.
That's fair. I feel like I should have asked my husband that before we got married, because he loves cilantro and I am one of those people. So when that showed up on the list, we certainly had to ask about it. We're talking with Boaz Frankel, who wrote the book Let's Be Weird Together. Brooke Barker illustrated it. And we want to hear from you. Does their relationship seem familiar to you? Maybe you don't have a crow friendship station, but maybe you have other things that you bond with your significant other over. Do you tend off the beaten path? Join us at 800-642-1234. Maybe you share inside jokes with your partner. Do you use them in front of other people? Do you even remember why they're funny in the first place? Or is it just part of who you two are? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. Boaz, what do you think? Are you weirder as individuals or are you weirder together collectively?
Gosh, good question. And one thing I do want to say is Brooke co-wrote the book also. So really, you have to give her a lot more credit because she co-wrote and illustrated it. So I only did 25% of the work. So I just wanted to point that out first.
Good, good. Yes, I appreciate that.
But I think the weird thing about relationships is everybody has their quirks. You know, everybody has the little weird things they do. And I think as soon as you hook up with someone else, maybe at first you go through a normal period where you're like, well, I don't want to be too weird. I don't want to, you know, saying first thing after I wake up yet. You got to sort of play it cool. But then at a certain point, I think it just sort of exponentially grows the weirdness. Once you get comfortable with each other, I think then your weirdness can really, you just sort of let it loose.
Are we all a little bit weird, though? I mean, is that something you have to understand as a premise to buy that argument?
I think if people say they aren't weird at all, then they're keeping some secrets.
Fair point. Brooke, the term weird does come in all shapes and sizes then. So why did you want to put together this book that was an ode to those weird couples, those that aren't keeping the secrets, that are really just embracing who they are, quirks and all?
One of the things, I love being in a relationship and having a partner, but I don't like having to mention my partner when people haven't met him yet. Something about it just drives me crazy how I have to say, you know, my boyfriend's on his way, my husband's coming, my partner was with me, because they just don't understand it yet. The word sort of conveys this relationship that you really can't capture in one word, because every relationship is so different and so unique. And so they don't know whether to imagine this partner that I go fly fishing with, or that we sit quietly together, or that maybe we're a detective team. And I just felt so frustrated but obsessed with the fact that every relationship is so different and can look so many different ways, and that's great. So we wanted to create this sort of weird compendium and celebration of all the infinite different ways a relationship can be.
Yeah, and there are lots of different ways that you approach that in the book. I know it's based on cartoons. There are no chapters. There are some pages with tons of words. There are pages that are more sparse and just kind of little tidbits. Boaz, how did you decide what to include in the book? Because there are a lot of things that a lot of people might label weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was fun to start working on this because we just had a long list of ideas at the beginning. We're like, well, what could go in here? And, you know, we're like, well, it'd be cool to research quirky couples throughout history. So that was a fun opportunity to, you know, do research back to ancient Egypt about quirky couples back then even. Brooke is very into animals, as she mentioned, so we definitely wanted to include some animal courtship and mating rituals in there. But then we also, you know, just thought of some sort of simpler comics. And one thing that we go back to is we thought it'd be funny to describe these, normal parts of relationships, but from like the perspective of like David Attenborough, how they do it on like a nature documentary. So we
right.
do sort of these absurd sort of play-by-plays of a couple, let's say, going to a diner together and finding out that one of them doesn't like tomatoes. And so, you know, they're putting them on their partner's plate. And how would that look like from the perspective of a nature documentary, or a couple putting together IKEA furniture?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, we can't even open up that can of worms here. We are talking with Boaz Frankel, who is a writer and co-author of the book Let's Be Weird Together. His co-author is Brooke Barker, who's a New York Times bestselling author and currently works as a freelance writer and illustrator. They're both in Pennsylvania. And you can join this conversation about being weird. Which couple is the weird one in your life? Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe it's your parents. Do they have weirdness flowing through their veins? What makes couples you know weird? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. I'm Keely Voltina, and you're listening to The Morning Show. When someone finds out you're together, especially if the relationship is new, the question is inevitable. How did you two meet? We can pretty much tell you're lying when you say mutual friends, okay? So fess up. Did you cross paths at a costume party? Were you in a long line at a water park? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Maybe it's really crazy, or maybe it's just really boring. Do you tell people the real story, or do you have a cover so they don't pick up on the truth? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also email us your story at ideas@WPR.org. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Brooke Barker and Boaz Frankel co-authored the book Let's Be Weird Together. Brooke's a freelance writer. Boaz is also a writer, but also a former Guinness World Record holder for the most high fives in an hour. Want to make sure we get that credential in there. Brooke, before we talk more about the book, you have a connection to Wisconsin. Your sister lives here. So when you visit, are there weird places you go or weird things you do in Wisconsin?
Yeah, there's one weird thing I had to do as soon as I started dating Boaz and went to Wisconsin next is visit the Boaz Mastodon, which might be renamed now. But there's a mastodon in, it's in Wisconsin somewhere. My sister knows exactly where and is able to take me there. Wisconsin is full of sort of fun, weird surprises like that.
Interesting. Yeah. So that tiny village in Richland County, sometimes we have callers from Boaz who mention things like that. So that's fun. And I mean, Boaz, did you go and did you get a picture?
Yeah, we saw the mastodon. It's at the Geology Museum at the university.
Ah.
And I guess since then they've realized that actually a lot of the bones for the Boaz mastodon were from a different mastodon. So I was devastated to hear that they're considering renaming it.
So now we have to call it the so-called Boaz mastodon. I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can't have all of these wins all of the time, I guess. When we are looking at being the best partner you can be, Boaz, you mentioned in the book that it isn't about necessarily the things you do, but about maybe sometimes not doing tiny specific things that your partner hates. What quirks do you try to withhold and how can we learn from those?
Well, there are infinite annoying things that one person could do. And so really, yeah, you just want to do your best to avoid those things, whether that's, talking in movies or, maybe doing too much play-by-play at home. I feel like that's something that I can fall into doing where I'm just sort of talking to fill the space sometimes while I'm doing an activity or cooking or folding laundry. But also, you want to make sure you're not finishing sentences or, one thing is people, you'll go to a restaurant and then they'll have a very complicated substitution. They're like, well, I want the omelet, but no eggs. And instead, can I have the onions on the side? And with a toast, can you cut them in three pieces?
I sense you have lived some of this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brooke, does that, do the things that Boaz is listing resonate with you a little bit?
Well, I feel like there are infinite ones, and not everything annoys every person. I don't mind complicated substitutions if other people do them. But yeah, I think we're both doers of a million annoying things, as everyone is. So we try to note the most annoying things. I'm someone that usually leaves jars not totally screwed. That's not one that made it into the book, but I'll sort of forget to totally screw the peanut butter jar closed, and then so when you pick up the lid,
and you try to pick it up from the lid, you pull out of the fridge. Next thing you know, you got a floor covered in peanut butter.
I feel you. I really do. And thank you for being so real about that, because it really is the little things. And you also, though, highlight the fact that sometimes those weird little things are actually reasons that we love people. So, Boaz, I don't know if that's the case with the peanut butter jar, but how did you pick up on the fact that there are these things that other couples might find totally annoying about one another, but that like really work for you and make you further appreciate your significant other?
Well, the longer you spend with someone, I think it's all those little things that become so commonplace and regular and expected that it feels like it really takes the first time you're out of town or they're out of town for a little bit, and then you suddenly miss those things. It's those things you sort of miss first, because those are the things. You know, everybody in your life isn't leaving peanut butter jars unscrewed. There's just one person. And when they're not around for a little bit and those jars are always tightly on, then you start missing it.
Yeah, you realize it's like this tiny signal that they aren't there.
Yeah.
Boaz Frankel and Brooke Barker are husband and wife duo based in Pennsylvania. They co-authored a book about being weird together. We're talking about love and why weird couples are maybe some of the best couples. Maybe you disagree. Let us know. 800-642-1234. And there's a line for you, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Do you consider yourself part of a weird couple? What is routine that you do that you think others might find a little off? Or what makes your life a little bit weird? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, and maybe we'll be able to incorporate you in this conversation. Brooke, let's dive into some nicknames for our loved ones. There's a section of your book that you open, and it's just a white background with a bunch of black words that are all of these nicknames that you've crowdsourced. I mean, what nicknames stand out to you? Why do we use them?
There was such a breadth of different nicknames. It was really shocking how many different nicknames there are, I think especially around the world. I think I was most impressed by how many people describe their partner as either small or a bear, which seem like two opposite things, but they're both, I guess, desirable nickname traits. Sometimes it's just fun to have a nickname. I don't know. I never had one growing up, and so it's nice to be in a relationship. That's one of the perks, I feel like, is having a new identity with a nickname.
And do any of those really stand out to you, or do you see them kind of follow different decades?
Yeah, there are a lot of nicknames that have sort of been used throughout time. For example, Bay is a pretty common nickname that people weren't using 100 years ago, but they were using some other sort of stranger ones, and these sort of go in and out of time. Frisco is used in the 1600s. Wiki Poo in the other 20s, in the 1920s. So lots of things that might have sounded more normal or current at the time have...
Yeah, maybe fallen out of our normal language. Maybe it's time to bring them back. Boaz, what are some unique nicknames that you found that other languages have to offer when we're outside of English? Sometimes people use different analogies for their significant others.
Yeah, there are a lot of surprising ones. A lot of people use animal names or objects. I'm going to be really honest. I'm just like searching for that page in the book now, because now I'm like, gosh, what were those things?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many of them. Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. And Brooke illustrated some of them. And well, we lived in the Netherlands for a little bit. And there are people like, I guess their version of sweetie is dropia, which is a kind of a small licorice candy they have there.
All right.
Which is very sweet. And then in France, Brooke's French is better. It has mon petit chou. Was that okay, Brooke?
Oh, that was great.
Which means my little cabbage.
Right. And I mean, I don't think I've ever said my little cabbage in English, but in French, it's just something that somebody might say and have a specific meaning. Yeah,
yeah, or it sounds so much cuter in French, doesn't it?
It's way more beautiful in French than me saying my little cabbage. So, you know, there are things that might work. Maybe we'll start to incorporate some of those things and try to adopt it. Brooke, weirdness can shine really bright when you've spent a lot of time with one another. You actually put your grandparents in here. Jerry and Ruby been together for more than 60 years. Why do you want to bring up their love story?
We wanted to make sure we've only been married 3 years. So we wanted to make sure to talk about a couple in the book that's been not necessarily married, but they have been married for 60 years. And I'm especially into their love story because they live in Normal, Illinois, so their lives might sound pretty regular, but they're pretty weird themselves. They built their own house and everything in their home that you might point to and be like, oh, that's a nice frame or that's a nice bedspread. And they made that too. So I just like that they're doing things really their own way.
Yeah, definitely.
As every couple is.
All of those little elements for sure. You may not live in Normal, Illinois, but Boaz, I understand that you had quite a, you know, unique elements to your engagement and also to your wedding. Tell us a little bit about what you decided.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll just say that Brooke proposed to me, and it was like the biggest shock of my life. I had no clue it was coming.
And where was it?
It was in front of a Dairy Queen in Portland, Oregon.
Love it.
And Brooke proposed with a book. So we were at the Dairy Queen. We're getting blizzards like we often do. And then she pulled out this book, a little blue book. I'm looking for it on the shelf right now. It's somewhere on there. And it's the front of it says, hey, Boaz, I have a question for you. And at that point, you don't generally give books to people just for kicks, custom books. So I was like, oh, gosh, I think I know what this question might be. And the book was very sweet and illustrated and just sort of talked about a relationship. And on the last page was the proposal.
How beautiful and unique, and what a great story that you're able to tell. Thank you for being willing to share it with us as we talk about what it's like to be weird in relationships. Boaz Frankel and his wife, Brooke Barker, co-wrote a book about love and about weirdness. And we want to know what your, maybe your unexpected nickname is for your significant other. Bibs, Ginger, Kitten, Pancakes. Maybe you have a unique engagement story, or you made some decisions that other people were surprised by when you got married. Tell us about it. Share your story with us at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. We're talking about weirdness and love this hour. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Here on The Morning Show, we're showcasing how our quirks make our relationship stronger and keep us on our toes. Like when you discover your partner has a secret skill, or you make eye contact with one another across the room, even though you're talking to different people at a party. Or maybe it's when you find a photo of your person as a child. I mean, my husband's baby face is on a POG, you know, one of those circular game chips from elementary school. And you can bet I know exactly where it is today. Middle desk drawer, toward the back, right along the right side. So what's your POG? What are some weird ways that you see your relationships? Do you share inside jokes? Do you and your partner pronounce a word differently? And does it cause you a little bit of strain, or is it something that you embrace? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can ask your question about what it's like, or what you want to know about weird couples. Email ideas@wpr.org. I'm Keely Boltina. Brooke Barker and her husband Boaz Frankel created this book called Let's Be Weird Together, and we're talking about it this hour. Brooke, what happens when weird couples wind up getting together, making friends with other weird couples? How do you navigate that? Because we've really been talking about the weirdness within relationships, but some of that shows up when you're with other people.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like there are different... Once you're in a weird couple, you sort of have this whole sort of secret language that you have and all these inside jokes. And so it does sort of, it's interesting to see what's revealed, what jokes come out when you're with your friends, what rules are you okay to talk about, what sort of, you know, secret food recipes that you do are okay to share and which ones aren't. And yeah, I guess ideally your sort of weird coupleness can sort of spill into your group of friends and your family, because everyone's sort of actually weird on the inside.
And how do you navigate that when you're having those conversations, though? How can you tell when it's okay to talk about it and when maybe you've crossed a line? Sounds like communication, regardless of whether you're a weird couple.
Yeah, I think communication always seems good. I guess as long as I always feel like as long as what you're sharing is, you know, meant in a good light and is meant to be positive, It always seems okay to share. I feel like the more you learn about someone else's weirdness, the more comfortable you feel with your own. So I always feel like I'm happy when I hear about other people's weirdnesses. And then I'm like, oh, I've actually been doing that too. And I've been nervous to tell anyone.
Boaz, what about when you, a self-proclaimed weird member or weird, you know, person and member of a couple? What happens when you get together with somebody who is less forthcoming about that, or feels like they are less weird? And then you talk about something like that crow relationship station. I mean, how do you navigate those relationships, you know, with ease or at least with a little less strain?
Well, you know, I think for weird newbies, you know, it's baby steps. You got to go easy on them. So maybe don't introduce the crow relationship in the first 5 minutes of the conversation. You got to ease them into it.
So kind of like how we were talking about those little quirks or the things that you actually show when you enter into a relationship with somebody. It's kind of like a baby step sort of a circumstance. That would be your recommendation?
Yeah, I feel like test the water, but I really feel like everybody deep inside thinks they're totally weird and maybe even more weird than they actually are, whether it's, you know, just about, you know, like a funny voice that they, you know, give their pets in their head, or whether it's, you know, the weird song they make up as they're brushing their teeth at night. Everybody, I feel like, has these little inner thoughts that are probably weird, and they just have to feel comfortable enough to tell the world about them.
Brooke, you actually created an Instagram account talking about sad animal faces. You've written a book about them. I wonder if you can help us understand some of those weird ways that animals communicate to say they're in love, because there are some kind of strange things that different creatures do.
Yeah, I love animal facts. And one of the things I love about them is that they show that you can sort of navigate the world in totally your own way. And animals are doing love in a really different way. One, there are just so many things I love. And one is that puffer fish, for example, when they want to woo a mate, they'll sort of create these elaborate sand patterns on the ocean floor to show to another puffer fish. Just that's in lieu of a bouquet of flowers or something. They have this sand pattern that they've created by sort of going around slowly and flapping one fin quickly to rustle up the sand and create these sort of big circular sand patterns that you wouldn't know about unless you're a puffer fish.
Right. And that's something that, you know, that we might look at and say, that's a really different kind of a way to communicate that. That's a completely different species. But Boaz, how did you then take those animal facts and, you know, include them in the book and really help us better relate to them? Because I don't have much in common with a puffer fish. But somehow when you page through the book, you can kind of get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think there are so many ways to have a relationship, and animals have completely different ways, like Brooke mentioned. So I think it was fun to include some of those. And also, Brooke's sad animal facts are pretty popular. She's written two books of them before. So it also felt like people maybe wanted to see some kind of animal facts in this book. In this case, they're weird relationship animal facts instead of sad animal facts.
And Boaz, human beings, like our bodies, do some strange things even when we're in love. And you include that, too, with the brain releasing different chemicals, our mouths, our feet, our cheeks, our eyes. Why did you think it was important to include those physiological elements of the human body when talking about love?
Well, bodies are weird, and so it felt sort of like a shoo-in to have those in there, because we all talk about that butterflies in your stomach feeling. And so it was interesting to research that, and it's really cortisol, which is the stress-causing hormone, which is released and constricts the blood vessels around your stomach, which leads to that. And then doing this research, we learned that the pupils in your eye dilate when you're looking at someone you love, and it can even cause you to blush, because there's this rush of adrenaline, which improves the blood flow, which makes you blush. So if you see someone you have a crush on, you might blush. And then in your heart, your heart rate is increased. Dopamine's released, which triggers the pleasure center of your brain. And so it is funny to learn all these things that your body is reacting physically in this weird way.
Yeah, because it seems sometimes we think of love as strictly, you know, like a mental emotion and not necessarily how our body responds. But you're saying, hey, there are layers to this. And so that's one of the things that you point out.
Absolutely. Yeah, your body is freaking out when it sees someone it loves. And then, you know, we also sort of joke, then now your feet are also maybe more likely to experiment with weird dance moves. Maybe you're more likely to burst into song. Those ones are less scientific, but just some theoretical stuff we're working on.
Good disclosure. Boaz Frankel and Brooke Barker are talking with us. They're the authors of a new book called Let's Be Weird Together, which is a book about weirdness and also about love. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Maybe you've been married a long time and there's something quirky that makes your love special, or maybe there's something that even these decades still drives you a little bit crazy, but it reminds you of the person you love. Perhaps you recently broke up with a partner. Was there a quirk that just drove you a little bit too nuts? We've got a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. And Brooke, when we are talking about all of these different elements of your book, we mentioned the nicknames earlier. I understand that you surveyed, you know, just like 2,000 of your closest friends, asked them some weird questions. How did you do that? How did you reach out to people to figure out what some of these other weird things people do? How did that happen?
When we were getting ready to make this book, we spent about 2 years sort of writing and researching for it, and I'm a pretty active Instagram user, and so I just decided to reach out to people who follow me on Instagram and ask them to answer a few little questions about love and them and their partner, and it was fun to sort of get their responses and look at them as a whole. For example, one question we asked is, who is a better singer, you or your partner? And really, two-thirds of people online said that they were a better singer, which doesn't seem mathematically possible, but I, you know, people are confident singers, which is
sometimes a good
thing.
Love defies logic.
It's true. It's true. Right. Because you would think that if everybody's being honest, half of someone in a couple would be the better singer. And so you should come out 50-50 if everybody is appropriately assessing their position in the relationship as far as singing goes.
Yeah. Being in love makes you confident, I guess. It makes you feel like you're a better singer.
Boaz, what did you learn from those survey questions as you researched the book?
Well, the survey questions, yeah, were very enlightening. People wrote back with their nicknames, which is how we filled that page full of nicknames. And people were writing back from all over the world. So it was so interesting to see nicknames from all over Europe and Asia. And then also we asked people about their weirdest dates they'd been on. And we didn't have room in the book to include those, but people just had such quirky and interesting dates. And in fact, talking about crowdsourcing, we've been going on a book tour now, and at every event we've been surveying the audience about the weirdest gifts they've gotten from a partner, which have been really weird. Some people brought someone like a decapitated crow that they had found as roadkill because I guess they collect bird skulls. That was sort of a beautiful gift that someone had given to someone else that we learned about. And we also polled every audience about who was the better singer on the book tour. And generally people said they were, except in Austin, Texas, where they said their partner was the better singer.
Aww,
and we theorized
Austin.
That maybe it's a music town, so maybe all their partners are away on tour singing in a band.
You said it didn't make it into the book, but I have to ask, tell me what one of the weirdest dates was that didn't make it into it.
You know, one weird date I remember was that someone was judging a middle school, constitutional argument discussion or something weird like that. And that was one of their first dates when they were in high school.
Like, let's go here together. This should be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right. We'll take it. Boaz Frankel's a filmmaker and a writer who co-authored the book Let's Be Weird Together. We're also talking with his wife, Brooke Barker. The couple's based in Pennsylvania and discovered they were weirder together once they started dating. And there's room for you in this discussion still. What's weird about your relationship? Maybe you don't think you're very weird, but since you've been listening to this conversation, you've realized maybe there are more layers to this than I anticipated. Tell us how. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. It's your space to share inside jokes, to comment on something maybe you find really annoying that your partner does. We don't judge. We just welcome your calls at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina, and this conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about being weird and being in love and how it's possible that one of those can enhance the other. We're celebrating love by appreciating one another's quirks. And whether that's a great fake accent or championing the tiny little acts of heroism that bring us closer together, like agreeing to go to a boring party and then saying it was fun, we're here for it. 800-642-1234. Let us know, do you consider yourself or you and your partner part of a weird couple? What makes you a little bit weird, and why do you appreciate that? 800-642-1234. Boaz Frankel and Brooke Barker stay with us. The husband and wife duo co-authored the book Let's Be Weird Together. It examines the weird and the love that exists in our relationships. Boaz, dates and anniversaries, you know, have this special place in couples' hearts. You also say there are other more unique anniversaries that maybe we should commemorate more often. What are those?
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing that was weird as we researched is that anniversary gift list, which is so bizarre, which I guess that's a thing that's been going back to the Middle Ages to some extent, that there'd be, you give a gold wreath on your 50th anniversary, but it was really made up by the American National Retail Jewelers Association. Of the appropriate gift you're supposed to give someone on each anniversary. So I think you can go nuts with that, but I think you're also maybe referencing those other anniversaries that we think you should, we should celebrate, like maybe the first time you tried a new food together. One thing that can be just sort of a big test is the first time you were together in bad Wi-Fi. How do you both react?
Right. Who takes precedence? How do you help one another?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone for their own. Like, forget it. I can't load this. It's over.
It happens. Yeah. And when you were talking about that, that list of those anniversaries, it's like the fifth anniversary should be a gift of wood. And you have made a new improved list, like, well, take a trip to a local theme park then and ride on a wooden roller coaster. Or, you know, for the 14th, when it's ivory, your recommendation is donate to an anti-poaching organization in your partner's name. I mean, Brooke, when it comes to finding the perfect anniversary gift or showing your love with a gift, what's your take on those?
I have never considered myself to be a great gift giver. I don't know if it's one of my love languages I need to work on, but Boaz is like a terrifyingly good gift giver. And so whenever there's an anniversary or holiday coming up, I just brace myself for an absurdly good gift. He's given me, once he made a what looked like a book that was sort of a custom book for me, but when you opened it, there's actually a small disco ball inside, and it played selections of my favorite songs. Just it seems like it plays a different song every time, and they're all just my favorites.
Well, now I'm intimidated as I try to figure out the next gift I might have to give to somebody. Boaz, you might hear from me later to ask for some advice. There's another element here in your book where we talk about the perks of love. Certainly there are these connections, these relationships. But I wonder if you could both weigh in on, you know, those other maybe less focused on perks of love that you pointed out, something like even an excuse from a situation. Boaz, what's your favorite extra perk of love?
Well, I'll tell you, with this book tour, it's getting able to get access to your partner's frequent flyer status, because that gets you upgraded to other sections. It gets you better drinks. It gets you more leg room. So that is a big perk of love, I think.
I love it. Boaz likes the free checked bag. How about you, Brooke? What's your favorite perk of love that maybe we don't think about?
My favorite one is, and I actually read a study that sort of backed this up once, is that the ability to have someone else to remember half the details. So I feel like I'm always forgetting a lot of things, and I just, my brain knows safely that Boaz will remember, you know, the type of pasta sauce we liked getting, or which way we go to go this way, or what setting we put a certain thing on. And it's just nice that half of that information is stored in sort of a separate brain area.
I love it. And I have to say that my favorite that you identified is someone to tell you when there's food in your teeth. I very much appreciate that. Brooke, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Boaz, thank you too for being here, for breaking down what you learned in this book you put together.
Thank you so much. We love Wisconsin, and we're there all the time. So we'll come say hi next time.
That sounds great. We'll talk with you again. Boaz Frankel and Brooke Barker are husband and wife and recently co-authored the book Let's Be Weird Together, a book about love. Both are writers, and they're based in Pennsylvania. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's an author with a story about Rib Mountain.
Jill Sisson Quinn likes spending time at Rib Mountain State Park outside Wausau. She recently took a hike there with her young son for a lesson about our place in the universe.
I want my 4-year-old son to climb a mountain. Not so easy in Wisconsin. Long ago, mountains as high as the Rockies covered the area which is now our state. But today, I'll have to settle for 1,942-foot Rib Mountain. It's a remnant of that ancient rocky-sized range buried by sediment, then revealed through erosion. I'm not concerned by the modest elevation because this mountain sports something more impressive, its age. Rib Mountain contains some of the oldest rock in the world. At 1.7 billion years old, these rocks have been around for more than a third of the Earth's existence. We rub our hands across the striations on the side of a boulder, made by waves when the now quartzite was a river valley or ocean bottom. Long ago, this rock used to be sand, I say. I am awed by this evidence of the rock's previous forms, first sand, then sandstone, now quartzite. I tell my son to think about the ripples the ocean makes along the seashore. He gets it, looking around the heavily wooded mountaintop and responding, "There must not have been any trees here then." Next, I tell him the rock's age, knowing full well his understanding of such things still has a long way to go, his own number of fingers and toes as yet a daily discovery. This window of not yet complete awareness of his own form might be a good time, I figure, to convince him of what we, like the rock, really are. "The rock is old," I say to my son, "but you and the rock are really the same age, around 13.8 billion years old. The atoms in your body and the atoms in the rock made just after the birth of the universe and in exploding stars. You are stardust." "Stardust," he repeats and smiles. He's heard me say it before. I want my son to take the long view, to think like a mountain even when he is not on the mountain, and not only about the earth, as Aldo Leopold imparted, but about himself. We should not get mired in how one strand of identity formulates us, but consider all the strands, the food we eat, the microbes we host, where we grow up, and the DNA we inherit, no more or less important than the atoms that make up all this stuff. I don't deny what we appreciate in the rock, its consistency of form, being itself, over such an unimaginable period of time. It's old, it's something, it has exactly the sort of permanence we ourselves desire. I come to the mountain today not only in a parent's feeble attempt to make my son seem immortal, but to help him better navigate life's journey, its hard facts, as well as its uncertainties. 100 years, the most humans can expect, is not much. Yet over that 100 years, our solid-seeming body is in constant change. Individual cells live from a few days to at most 10 years, continuously rebuilt from materials from our immediate environment. We are not sandstone, then quartzite for a billion years, or even human for 100. We are sea, land, and sky, all in one lifetime.
Jill Sisson Quinn is an author who teaches writing at Mid-State Technical College and lives in Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Colbert.
And Wisconsin Life, it can be heard here on The Morning Show during the week. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.